worship team for helping us with that today. And then the Lopez family is going to come before we get into the scriptures. And they're going to sing for us today. I'm pretty excited about this. And we've got a quartet. And then we also got the fifth of the children up there in the tech booth today. So we'll just go ahead and say it's a quintet, even though he's not down here singing with them. All right. But we sure love this family. I'm excited to hear this message and song before we get into the sermon today. We worship him. Thank God for that truth. Well, Genesis chapter 40 this morning. And are y'all awake this morning? All right. Do we need some coffee? What do we need this morning, huh? And y'all a little quiet. We're going to have to prime the pump a little bit and get y'all running here a little bit. But that's okay. Genesis chapter 40 is where we're going to be at in the scriptures today. And looking forward to continuing on our journey through Genesis, discovering the roots of our redemption. And our journey here brings us to chapter 40 today. And of course, here we find Joseph. He was his father's favorite son, who was sold into slavery by his envious brothers. And as a slave, he was falsely accused and then imprisoned. As we come to Genesis chapter 40, we find Joseph there, stuck in that prison. And as an outsider looking in on this account and this whole situation in the scripture, it really seems to me like Joseph got put in this position for no reason at all. Seems like there was no apparent reason why Joseph was put into prison. And it very, very much seems like God's just forgotten about him. Everything that's happened to him, everything that he's gone through, he just keeps on going, keeps on doing right. And as he keeps on doing right, he keeps on getting rewarded with evil things happening to him and happening against him. And no doubt, I thought about this week, the other servants in Potiphar's house who knew Joseph was an honest man, who no doubt knew how Potiphar's wife was, and the other servants in that house, I am certain that they were convinced that Joseph was innocent. And yet they must have looked at Joseph and said, what kind of God, Joseph says he serves this Jehovah God, what kind of God would allow for his subject to be rewarded with so much evil for doing so much good? What kind of God would do that to somebody? And yet we know, with New Testament revelation on this side of the equation, that God's ways are not man's ways. The way that God plans things, the thought processes that God goes through aren't the same as ours. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And so Joseph didn't know what God was doing, but God knew what God was doing. And that's the measure of comfort that we take in the midst of all these things that were taking place. And, you know, the years between when Joseph had those iron chains clasped around his wrists to the years when he had the gold chain placed around his neck and he was put into a position of royalty in the palace, there were years of great testing in Joseph's life. Can I say this? They were worth it. Maybe not during, but in the end, they were worth it. And I no doubt believe we'll come to see that as we study later on in the book of Genesis. But you know that prison Joseph got put in, it became a schoolhouse. And some of us thought when we got done with high school, we were done with school. No, that's when the real schooling begins, I think. That prison became a schoolhouse for Joseph to be able to learn how to depend on the Lord and wait on the Lord's timing, even when he didn't understand what was taking place. And so in a very real sense, Joseph found himself in this prison where he was soon going to discover that though he was forgotten by everyone else, yet he was not forsaken by his God. I ask you this morning, have you ever been in a place in life where you felt forgotten? Maybe you find yourself at a place like that right now. There are all different types of seasons where we can feel forgotten. A child can often feel forgotten by family and friends. I should pull this picture out. We just had Harper, our fourth girl, and when we introduced her to her third, our third born, Holly, she was the youngest. The face that she gave was hilarious. Some of you saw it on social media. Her look was a look of absolute shock. Like, wait a second. I'm not the baby anymore. It's almost like you could see that the whole scene play over, and it was even more funny watching the whole thing happen. But I have to say, she's finally warmed up to her sister. And so there that is. But you know, kids can feel forsaken. They can feel forgotten about. Young adults can feel forgotten about. Teenagers certainly can. But I think of young people going into young adulthood. A lot of times they're the people that, well, they're not in the youth group anymore, and they're kind of in this limbo place, and who thinks about them? Right. Older folks feel forgotten. Forgotten about their children. Forgotten about by other people in their life. We can all get into seasons of life where we feel forgotten. Seasons of life that don't make a whole lot of sense. I remember when I was a young man, I was probably younger than you, Tobias. How old are you? 10, yeah, I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, probably about the age of my oldest daughter. And we had gone to Sunday night church, and boy, it must have been a doozy of a message because I fell solid asleep underneath the pew. I was sound asleep underneath the pew. And when I woke up, it was completely dark in the auditorium. And I shot up, and I thought, oh no, Jesus came back, and I missed it. And I was scared to death. And I remember waking up in that dark auditorium, and I was sure it was haunted, and I was scared to death. And I was forgotten, Mom and Dad. I was the middle child, by the way. You understand that? Okay? I was forgotten. Mom and Dad had forgotten me at the church, and boy, I'm thankful I wasn't forsaken, though. About 5 minutes or so later, I began to hear Mom running in screaming, Bruce, where are you at? And I'm glad I didn't get forsaken, though I was forgotten. All of us have moments in our life where we can look back, and perhaps you may feel that way now, where you feel like you've been forgotten. Forgotten by God, forgotten by others. I want to say to you this morning, no matter how alone you may feel right now, God has not forsaken you, nor will he forsake you. If God has you in a place where you feel forgotten, he wants to use this season of your life to prepare you for the greater purposes that he has for you. That's why he allows us to go through these kinds of seasons, and certainly that's why God was allowing Joseph to go through this season. And so God uses the difficulties and the discouragements of our life to build us, to help us to trust him more, to teach us to trust him more, and to mature our faith in him. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Hey, if God has you in a forgotten place in life, you can take heart today. He only has put you there because he has some bigger things in store for you in the future that he wants to get you ready for. And so as we study Genesis 40 this morning from our text, I want you to notice with me 7 life-altering truths you will discover through the forgotten places of your life. Let's pray together and ask God to speak to our hearts this morning. Our Father, we come before you. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to open your word. And Lord, I certainly need your unction, your anointing to be able to declare this truth. And Lord, I pray for your people today that, Lord, they would not just have attentive minds, but certainly, Lord, we pray that they would have attentive minds and not zone out and not miss what you're trying to communicate to them today. And I pray that they'd also have open hearts and tender hearts to receive the truth of your word. And Lord, not think that it's for someone else, but Lord, see what you're trying to say to them, each one of us individually. And I pray, God, that we would be willing to respond to your word, that you speak to our hearts here this morning. And I pray that you'd move in our midst in a way that only you can. And I pray you'd break through using the hammer of your word, the hardened soil of the ground of our hearts, the rock that may be there that would keep your word from being able to be implanted in our hearts, break through it this morning. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to us in a way that's very real, very fresh, very relevant, very helpful. And Lord, I pray that you'd do that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 7 life-altering truths you will discover in the forgotten places of your life. I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, in the forgotten places of your life, you will discover the presence of God. You will discover the presence of God. In other words, we could put it this way. In those forgotten moments of your life, you'll discover God is still with you. God is still with you. Now, Joseph was about 20 years old when those prison doors slammed behind him with the hollow echo of doom. And no doubt he wondered when they slammed shut, when they would open up again. And listen to me, for the next 10 years at least, Joseph was going to spend his days in prison. The ripe age of 20 years old, he appeared before Pharaoh 10 years later, and he is 30 years old. Now, for most of us, our 20s are years of excitement, years of discovery, some of the most exciting days of our life, our 20s. And let's be honest, some of the dumbest days of our life, too, okay? There you go. But for Joseph, they were the most dreary and disappointing and discouraging days of his life. He spent his youth, his young adulthood, in prison. And not deserving to be there. Now imagine what he was going through. And yet I want you to see that even in the midst of this desolate circumstance, what the Bible tells us, this is at the end of chapter 39 and verse number 21. If you're there with me, say amen. The Bible says in verse 21 of chapter 39, but the Lord, we could say this, but God was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Listen, even when Joseph had been forgotten by all others who were around him in his life, God made sure that Joseph knew that he was still there with him. God was still with him. And one of the first things that Joseph came to experience in this forgotten place of his life was the presence of God. Was the fact that God was still with him. God was there to show him mercy. That means loving kindness. God was there to just reach down and make sure that he knew by tender actions that God interposed into his life that he was still there for him. He gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and whoever heard of a prisoner overseeing the rest of the prison house. I don't think that's probably ever happened in history. And here's what's even more shocking about it. Most of the time, if you think there was a prisoner who was over everybody else, you'd think it was because he was a little tattletale or something along those lines. But the prisoners actually liked Joseph. He was a good man. And Joseph was in this position because God was with him and God blessed him. And so God made his presence known to Joseph even in the middle of this forgotten place of his life. And I say to you this morning, there is not a place you can go in your life that God will not be there with you. Not a place you can go. I love this truth in Isaiah chapter 49. It's in your notes if you have them this morning. Isaiah 49, this is what the Lord says. He says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will not I forget thee, saith the Lord. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Now this is of special significance to me because we just have a newborn child and Emily's breastfeeding right now. And I tell you what, Emily's an amazing mom. I couldn't do it. She'll wake up at all times during the night. And it seems like she never gets tired. She never has a bad attitude. But boy, she sets alarms on her phone. She has this little app that makes sure that she remembers every time that she's supposed to feed our little Harper. And she nurses her. And she takes care of her. And she sets up these reminders to make sure that she's giving her everything that she needs. She's a loving mother. And God says even more so than a loving mother loves her infant child, I love you all the more. So much so that he's also set up a reminder of his love for you. You know what it is? He's graven you on the palms of his hands on the cross. Probably not good on the mic. But he put those nails into his hands. We got your name on it. And every time he looks at those scars in his hands, he's reminded of his great love for you. God, in the midst of your forgotten moments of life, wants you to know he's still with you. His presence is still there with you. And what a wonderful thing that is. And so in the forgotten places of your life, first of all, you'll discover the presence of God. But number two this morning, in the forgotten places of your life, you'll discover the purpose of God. You'll discover the purpose of God. And in other words, you'll discover that God still has a plan for you. Listen, if you're in a place where you feel like nobody else is taking notice of your plight and the situation that you find yourself in, I've got good news for you today. God wants you to know that even in this forgotten place you find yourself, he still has a plan for you in the midst of the trial that you find yourself going through. And for Joseph, even in the midst of that dark hole that God had allowed him to descend in, God still blessed him, we find, and gave him purpose and enabled him to fulfill that purpose. Look at verse 22 of chapter 39. The Bible says here that the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. No doubt, when Joseph found himself in this prison, he was hurt and he was confused. But even in the middle of that situation, he decided that if that's where God was going to have him to be, then he was going to make the most out of the situation that he found himself in. And the Bible tells us that Joseph served the keeper of the prison. He served him. His enslaver. He served the keeper of the prison. So well he served him that the Bible says that the keeper eventually promoted him to become in charge of the whole enterprise, the whole affair of what was taking place in that prison. And yet he didn't just win the warden's favor. He won the favor of the other prisoners as well. He served the warden, but then he served the prisoners. He didn't treat those prisoners like they were scum. He didn't treat those prisoners like they were good for nothing. He cared for them. He loved them. He treated them like human beings. He served them, the Bible says, and that caused him, because of the Lord's blessing, to receive favor from the prisoners and favor from the keeper of the prison in that prison house. Listen, we don't have time to park on this long, but you go ahead to chapter 40 and verse 4. The Bible says that he got so much favor in that prison that the captain of the guard, when two royal prisoners were put into the prison, decided, I'm gonna commit them to Joseph's care. You remember who the captain of the guard was? Potiphar. I'm telling you, God blessed Joseph so much that even Potiphar said, you know what? I don't care what this guy did or what I think this guy did. God's hand's on him, and I'm going to trust him. Even Potiphar started trusting Joseph again. That's how much blessing came upon Joseph at this point in time in his life. And what I find interesting about Joseph at this point is in the middle of his hard situation that he found himself in, He didn't just gain a position, but he gained a ministry. He gained a ministry. Listen, even in the middle of a prison, he found a way to serve God. He found a way to do what God wanted him to do. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you need to learn to minister in the midst of the miserable places of your life. Too often we come to a difficult place in our life and we use that as an excuse for not serving God. But you need to learn to serve God in the midst of the miserable places that you find yourself in life. I like what John MacArthur recently said when he was threatened with his church being, himself being put into prison for holding church services in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. He got up the next Sunday after they had made this threat to him, and he said, well, I always wanted to be in prison ministry. I think he has the right perspective. Listen, if I'm going to go through a hard time, then I'm going to find a way to serve God even in the middle of the hard time that I'm going through. And oh, how important that is for us to understand. Let me tell you, I can assure you that God will never forget anything you do for him. Even when everybody else forgets about you and nobody else notices that you're still trying to live for God in the midst of all the difficulty you're going through, God still sees it and he won't forget a thing that you do for him. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget your work. He won't forget. And what a comfort that is for us. And so as Joseph did what God had given him to do in this forgotten place in his life, the Bible says he became a blessing to everyone that was around him. And we see this demonstrated so clearly here in the scripture. He was the blessing even in the middle of a prison house. Matthew Henry said, a good man will do good wherever he is and will be a blessing both in bonds and in banishment. You know what? When you come to a forgotten place in your life, most of the time you won't understand what God's doing, why God has put you in this kind of place. When I tell you what you can do, you can keep doing the next right thing. You can continue to be faithful with what you know God has given you to do. You may not understand why he's allowing you to be in this place. You may not understand why he's put you in this position. You can keep doing right and trusting God. And friend, he'll bring it to pass. He'll get you through the trial that you're going through. That's his prerogative. And we certainly see that took place in Joseph's life. But listen, in the middle of the circumstance God puts you in, he puts you there for a purpose. And that purpose, you don't know what it is. You just keep serving the Lord. You just keep being faithful. You just keep doing what's right. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God puts you there for a purpose. Just trust him. And so in the forgotten places of your life, you're going to discover some things. You're going to discover the presence of God. You're going to discover the purpose of God. But I say this third of all to you, you're going to discover the providence of God. The providence of God. In other words, we could put it this way, you'll discover that God is still working behind the scenes. He's still at work behind the scenes. Now let's go to chapter 40 now. We finally made our way to our text today. How about that? All right. We'll discover the providence of God. Now, providence is a word that we don't use very much today. I dare say you might not be able to give me a definition of what providence means. And so let me tell you, providence is the care and superintendence that God exercises over all his creation. That's the care and superintendence that God exercises over all of his creation. That's God's providence. And God's providence was certainly on display in what we see happens next in Joseph's life. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 40. If you're there, say amen. All right, the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and the baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh, this is the king of Egypt, Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard, which, as I said a moment ago, that was Potiphar, the captain of the guard, charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. This was no accident. At just the right place and just the right time, God crossed Joseph's path and committed into his care two very prominent prisoners, the chief of the butler and the chief of the bakers. Those are the individuals that God committed to his care, and it was no accident that that took place. And God brought these two key men into Joseph's life just so that he could ultimately use them to set Joseph free and promote Joseph to the palace. Now, when they came into that prison, Joseph didn't know that. I'm here to tell you this morning, hey, we would not even know who this butler and baker were unless God had crossed their life's path with the life of his servant Joseph. Their life would have been insignificant in the canon of Scripture unless God had a purpose to use them to prosper Joseph in this situation right here. And I like what one person wrote about this. They said, the world stands for the sake of God's people and is governed for their good. Now that's significant if you really think about it. God uses the people and circumstances of this world to bring about his purposes for his people. His purposes for his kingdom. And there is power in that truth right there. And you know, I sometimes wonder how often God has put me in someone's path unknown to me just to help further his kingdom purposes in their life. You know what? I'd like to be a butler who God uses to raise up a Joseph to fulfill God's purposes. I'd be pretty happy being that person. And it made me think of yesterday. I was sitting down with Missy, who's going to be getting baptized today. And, you know, she got saved as a young girl. There was a missionary who came to where her family lived there on the reservation and shared the gospel with them and began to teach them the Bible. And she trusted Christ as her Savior as a young person. We then spent many years away from the Lord. And as the story of her testimony went on, she started working for Miss Patsy and working with Alicia over there at the depot. And, you know, as she began to work there, they began to minister into her life. You know, God crossed their life with Missy's, like God crossed Joseph's life with that butler to help encourage her come back to the Lord. And today she's going to get baptized. She's going to publicly profess her faith in the Lord. And it's so neat to see those little examples of God's providence all interspersed throughout our lives. And certainly we see it on display here in Joseph's life. And I want to tell you this morning, in the forgotten places of your life, remember the providence of God. It'll give you hope. You see, God is still working behind the scenes for your good and for his glory. And even when you can't see it, it's still happening. And you can trust in God's providence. He's going to take care of you. He's superintending all the circumstances of this world for his glory, and he desires to do it for your good as well. I'll tell you why. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are the called according to his purpose. God's going to take he's a providential God. He's going to take every circumstance of your life, and even the good and the bad, the ones you don't understand and the ones you think you do, he's going to take it all and work it together for your good and his glory. And there's comfort in that fact. And so in the forgotten places of your life, you'll discover the presence of God. You'll discover the providence of God. You'll discover the purpose of God. But I say this fourth of all this morning, you note this down in your notes, in those forgotten places of your life, you'll discover the prospects of God. And that is, you'll discover that God still has an opportunity for you. Now, sometimes when we come to a forgotten place in life, we think life's over. We think there's nothing else we can do. But there's not a place God will put you that he doesn't want to use you for his glory. I don't care where it is. The most forgotten places of your life, God still has a purpose for you. He still has an opportunity for you in that place to be used for his glory. And for Joseph, in that forgotten prison house, God presented to him a special opportunity. Look at verse number 5 with me, if you would. The Bible says, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. Now, the Bible tells us both of these men had been given a prophetic dream from God. And in Egyptian culture, dreams were a very superstitious thing. And we still have dreams today. As human beings, we still have dreams. And not every dream they had was from God. I've often heard people try to talk about dreams and how God spoke to them through dreams today. Let me just say, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 makes it very clear that when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. God doesn't speak to us through dreams today. He speaks to us through the Bible. And if you don't agree with that, I'd be happy to talk with you more about it. But the fact is, God has given us his finished word. But in the Old Testament, before his word was finished, God would often appear to people and speak to them through dreams. And that was what was happening here. But these men were discouraged because they'd had this dream. They could tell that it was significant, but they had nobody to interpret it. Nobody to tell them what their dream meant. And they were stuck in prison. They thought they had no hope of finding someone to help them interpret their dream. And so when Joseph came in, he could tell they were sad. He could tell they were discouraged. And he asked them what was bothering them. By the way, the fact that Joseph, who was over them, took the time to notice that they were sad and they had a problem says something to us. He was not just over them in the prison, but he was with them in the prison. He had compassion on them in the middle of their state. And you think about it, Joseph was a prisoner too. He still had chains about his wrists. And Joseph had been a dreamer too. He could really identify with them. And there's a lesson for us in that fact right there. And you know, the fact is Joseph didn't miss the opportunity to minister in the midst of his forgotten place because he wasn't just focused on himself. In the middle of that prison, he found a way to have a ministry and to help other people. And listen, so often we miss opportunities to serve God, especially in the middle of the miserable places of our life, because we're more concerned about taking care of our needs than helping someone else with their needs. But even in the low places of our life, in the forgotten places of our life, God has opportunities there for us to be able to serve him. And God puts us in low places to be able to reach out to people who are in low places with us. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 3, the Bible tells us, blessed be the God and Father. Oh, I'm not going to remember how to quote it. Let me just turn over there real quick. You guys probably have it in your notes, don't you? Let's read it here. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And I'm telling you, hey, God is the God of all comfort, and he comforts us in our tribulation so that we can help some other people. And if you would get your gaze off of your own troubles and have enough gumption to look out and realize there's some other hurting people around you that God may want you to minister to, God may just be able to use your trial to help someone else for his glory. Jude chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. God wants us to have this compassion even in the low points of our life. And so don't miss the opportunity in the forgotten places of your life to minister to the people that God crosses your path with. I'm always reminded of Miss Edith Chapel when I think of this particular subject right here. This is a woman who in the latter years of her life was bedridden and no doubt at many points felt very much forgotten. There would be some periods of time where it would be weeks before a family member would come by, before even a church member would come by. And but just laying in that bed, and it would have been easy for her to have a woe is me mentality, to be so focused on her own needs and to complain. But you know what she did from that bedside? She was in that bed for 3 years. You know what she did from that bedside? She took that opportunity to talk to every person who walked into her doors about Jesus Christ. And I dare say that she led more people to Christ from her bed than many Christians do in their entire lifetime. She used her trial, and she found an opportunity in it to reach people for Jesus Christ. And would to God we'd learn that same lesson in the forgotten places of our life. In the forgotten places of life, we see, we'll discover the presence of God, the purpose of God, the providence of God, and the prospects of God. But I want you to notice this fifthly here this morning. In the forgotten places of our life, we'll discover the power of God. And that is that God will enable you beyond your capacities, beyond your capacity, in ways that you never knew that he could. God, you'll discover in those weak, forgotten moments of your life the power of God. And you know, the Bible goes on to tell us in Genesis 40 that these two men who'd had this dream, it troubled them so much because they didn't have an interpreter. But when Joseph heard about their plight, he already knew who to turn to find the answer to their problem. The Bible says at the end of verse number 8, and Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Now listen, though Joseph, he had never interpreted a dream, yet he was confident that his God could interpret that dream. And the Bible says, in full dependence and reliance upon the Lord, he told them, you tell me your dream so I can get the answer from God. I don't have the answer, God has the answer, but if you tell it to me, I believe God can help me show you what that dream means. And boy, it reminds me of Philippians 3, where the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And he had full confidence that though he'd never interpreted a dream, that if this was the need that was presented to him in this hour, that God had the ability to enable him to interpret that dream. And so the butler stepped up first. That chief of the butlers, he began to tell his dream. And verse number 9 says, and the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. This is a grapevine. And in the vine were three branches that came out. And it was as though it budded and blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And so this grapevine began to produce some fresh grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. A very peculiar dream. I dare say we might be talking about this kind of dream if this dream had happened to us. And Joseph heard the dream, and boy, immediately God enabled him to interpret what the dream meant. And the Bible tells us there in verse 12, and Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, and yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. And so Joseph predicted in 3 days' time that butler was going to be raised up out of prison, tried and found innocent, and restored back to his position at Pharaoh's side as the chief of the butlers. And what a bold prediction that was. Well, the chief baker, when he heard the good news, he thought, well, I want to know what my dream means now. And so the Bible tells us in verse number 16, that when the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds didn't eat them out of the basket upon my head. And once again, he told his dream, and God enabled Joseph immediately to give the interpretation for this dream. The Bible says in verse 18, and Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. And yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head from off thee and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat flesh from off of thee. And you can almost see the expression of the chief baker as he's given the interpretation. Again, he starts just like he had for the butler. He said 3 days, and the butler and the baker's like, all right, this is good. 3 days for me too. But he gives the rest of the interpretation, and you understand in Egyptian culture in that day and time, especially, they didn't hang people by gallows. That was not the Egyptian way. But when they would execute someone, they would behead them, and then they would impale their body on a stake and hang it out for wild animals to eat. Now, maybe I'm a little brutal, but I just love studying this kind of stuff. I think it's very interesting, okay? It was not a good prediction that was coming. And I kid around about it a little bit, but I imagine as Joseph told this to that poor soul, that he did so sadly. And he did so perhaps putting an arm around him and trying to console him as the interpretation was given. But Joseph relied on God's power to do something he had never done before. Listen, he had dreams, but he had never sought God's power in the days of his prosperity to find out the meaning of those dreams. But then when someone came to him with a need in the midst of his forgotten place, they needed an interpretation. He trusted God's power to enable him to do something he had never done before. And so he gave this interpretation. Now, those 3 days were probably long days of anticipation and anxiety for that baker and that butler. And 3 days came and went, and let's find out what happened. Verse number 20, the Bible says, and it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief of the butler and the chief of the baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again and gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. And so it all happened exactly as God had enabled Joseph to foretell. The chief butler was restored to his position as next to Pharaoh, and the chief baker, his head was chopped off, and his body was hanged up on a stake in front of all of the people of Egypt who were gathered around for Pharaoh's birthday. And so what a scene this must have been, and what a great demonstration of how Joseph, even from his forgotten place, he received no glory for interpreting these dreams. He had no promise of promotion for interpreting these dreams, but he relied on God's power in the midst of his forgotten place, and God enabled him to do something that he had never done before, that he did not even know to be possible. And I say to you this morning, in the forgotten places of your life, God wants to teach you to rely on his power and strength in ways you never have experienced before. Listen, God often brings us to low points in our life, forgotten places in our life, to help us understand the source of strength that he can give us in ways that we never knew before. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 3 different times he said he came to the Lord asking God to deliver him from a thorn in the flesh, he called it. And 3 different times God gave him no answer. And I'm sure that Paul thought, God, are you ignoring me? Are you forgetting me? I'm asking you to help me with this thing. And 3 different times he asked for God's deliverance. And eventually God gave the answer. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul went on to say in verse 10, therefore will I glory in my infirmities and my weaknesses, because when I am weak, then God, you are strong through me. And it's through the forgotten and weak and desolate places of our life that God teaches us just how strong he can be for us, just how much his power is sufficient for us if we will just trust him. I'm going to tell you something. Joseph needed to learn to depend on that power from God in the low point of his life, because he was about to be elevated to the palace. And when he got to the palace, he already knew that God had given him the power to be able to interpret Pharaoh's dream. God got him ready to interpret the dream in the palace when he interpreted the dreams in the prison. You understand how God, in the low points of our life, gets us ready for his greater purposes. And so, in the low points of your life, in the forgotten places of your life, God wants you to discover his power. And I say to you, sixthly this morning, in the forgotten places of your life, you'll discover the promotion of God. Now, I'm sure you noticed we skipped over some verses. Verses 14 and 15. Let's go back to those and notice what we missed. After Joseph had given the good interpretation to the butler, he made a request of him. Verse 14, the Bible says, Joseph speaking here, he said to the butler, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Now some say that what Joseph did here was his first, error in the whole story of Joseph. It was his first demonstration of unbelief. Joseph here turns to the butler and asks him to put in a good word for him to Pharaoh and to help get him out of prison, because he didn't deserve to be there. And in doing this, I would say we can certainly see that he was putting his hope in what a man could do for him instead of trusting in what God had determined for him. And we can see a distinction there. And you know, later on, as we see in the passage that we've already read, Joseph's interpretation rings true. It comes to pass. And I'm sure Joseph sat in prison and thought, oh, yes, the Lord came through and helped me to interpret it. I'm going to be set free. And that whole day went by, and I'm sure he was just waiting and watching. Every time a guard would come by and every time the doors would be open, he'd be thinking, here it goes, I'm going to be set free. And well, that day came and went, and a few days passed, and he thought, well, I'm sure he's really busy getting back into his butlership, but surely he's not going to forget what I did for him. A week goes by. Weeks turned into months. Months turned into years. In the prison for 10 years. And Joseph learned a hard lesson, not to put his hope in man. And in the forgotten places of your life, let me encourage you. Don't put your hope in man. Don't put your hope in man. They'll fail you every time. I learned this lesson the hard way. I remember at my grandpa's funeral, my grandpa Bruce, the one I'm named after, I preached his funeral, and at his funeral, my grandpa worked for a millionaire individual. He built him a lot of lakes and houses, and my grandpa was good at excavation and those kinds of things. And this gentleman, I was getting ready to walk out for the service, and there was a private room for the minister to get ready in, and I was sitting in there, and this man just walks in and begins to talk to me. And he said, well, I really loved your grandpa, and I want to do something in his honor, and so I think I'm going to send you. And he gave me an amount of money that was very significant, to say the least. I'd like to send this to your church. And I said, well, my name's Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. No, I didn't say that, but I heard that, and that was right before I went out to preach my grandpa's funeral. I didn't appreciate the timing of it, but boy, I heard that, and then I remember coming back to church, and you know, some of you were here for this, and I came up and said, this guy said he's going to give us money, and I think this is God telling us we need to go forward, and I began to talk about all these things, and you know what? The money never came, and God taught me a lesson. We don't go forward because of man's promises. We go forward because of God's promises. In the forgotten places of your life, It's critical you come to understand this. Matthew Henry said, "We cannot expect too little from man or too much from God." That's a good lesson for all of us to learn. Proverbs 13:12 warns us, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." If you put your hope in man and he disappoints you, you'll be heartsick for it. Don't put your hope in men. But Psalm chapter 146 says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. And happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." If you're down because some man or some woman failed you, you need to get your focus back on where your hope was supposed to be at the whole time. Psalm 42 and verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God." And Joseph learned that promotion doesn't come from man. Promotion comes from God in his forgotten places. And would to God we'd remember that as well. And so in your forgotten place, you'll discover the promotion of God. But this is the final thing I want you to note. In the forgotten places of your life, you'll discover the promise of God. The promise of God. God has not forsaken you. Look at verse 23, the last verse in the chapter, and we'll almost be done. The Bible tells us there in verse number 23, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but what? Forgot him." He just forgot him. How could he? After all that Joseph did for him, he just forgot him. I love what one person I read commented on this. I think it's a true parallel. Joseph's interaction with the two officers of Pharaoh was very similar to Jesus' interaction with the two thieves on the cross. One of the thieves was condemned and the other one was saved, just like one of the officers of Pharaoh was condemned and the other one was saved. Joseph made a plea to the one that was saved, "Remember me." Jesus has made a plea to those of us he has saved, "Remember me." And we're so prone to cast judgment on the butler for not remembering Joseph. And yet how often do we forget our Lord Jesus who has saved us? It's a good reminder for us to be thankful to our Joseph, Jesus Christ, who has set us free from our prison that held us captive, set us free from condemnation, and restored us to a rightful position before the King, before God himself. Thank God for that. Let's not forget what Jesus Christ has done for us. And yet Joseph, in that forgotten position, he quickly learned that even though man had forgotten about him, yet still God had not forsaken him. Can you imagine what Joseph thought about even as he interpreted those dreams for those two men? And those dreams came to pass. In Joseph's mind, he was reminded of some dreams that he had had over 10 years before. Dreams of God promoting him. Dreams of his own brethren bowing down before him. And as he saw God bring to pass the dreams of these pagan men, no doubt in Joseph's mind he thought, "God, I know you're going to bring those dreams to pass for me as well." And he clung on to those promises in the midst of the prison that he found himself in. And let me say, there may be moments in your life where you feel forgotten by all others. But even then, you will discover God is good for his word. And God has not forsaken you. You can trust his promises. Jesus said in Hebrews 13:5, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up, the psalmist said. And if everybody else forsakes you, God will never do it. You can trust his promises, even in your forgotten place, and don't stop doing so. So do you feel like you're in a place where you're forgotten today? You can be sure, when you feel forgotten, that you are not forsaken. And God wants to use the forgotten places of your life to teach you to trust him more and to get you ready for the greater things he has in store for you down the road. That's what he's doing. Don't mistake his purposes. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, the Lord says, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God already knows the end from the beginning of your life. He knows where he's taking you. Just trust him, even in your forgotten places. Just trust him. In those forgotten places, God wants you to come to understand his presence. He's still with you. He wants you to come to understand his purposes. He still has a plan for you. He wants you to understand his providence. He's still working behind the scenes in your life, even if you can't see it. He wants you to understand his prospects. He's got an opportunity for you. He wants to use you even in your low place, even in your forgotten place. He wants you to experience his power. He wants to give you strength you didn't even know you could have and you didn't even know you needed. He wants you to experience his promotion. Instead of trusting a man, be it a boss, be it a doctor, be it whatever, trust God to bring you out of it in his time. And he wants you to experience his promises. He's still good for his word. He has not forsaken you, even in your forgotten place. If you find yourself in a position like that in life, or I should say, when you find yourself in a position like that in life, don't forget these truths. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In a certain sense,